Amen.
Amen.
Last week, was it last week? There was a very powerful story that was told. A story about Chileshe and Mwanza. Those of you who are not here missed. So if you want to hear more about that story, it's still on the website. Chileshe and Mwanza. Please ask somebody to retell the story, because the story was so profound. This morning, there's another story that is going to be told. And I want you to follow me. I'm not a very good storyteller, but I'll try my best. In England, there were three women. Three women, all in their 90s. They decided to live together in a two-story house. One, the firstborn, was called Elise. She was 96. The middle one was 94, called Lynn. And the last one was the last born, was 92. She was called Elisa. One day, the three women were in the house. The older one decides to go up to have a bath. Walks upstairs. In England, most houses, they are storied. So a house is a storied house. This house, it's not a house, it's a bungalow. So they live in a house, a storied house. So there are three of them in the house this one day. The older one goes up, decides to have a bath. So she's running a bath and about to jump in. She puts in the first foot. Then she stops. She forgets whether she's finished bathing or she's about to have a bath. She forgets. Then she calls Lynn. Lynn, would you please come up and help me? I don't know if I've finished bathing or I'm about to have a bath. Please, could you quickly come upstairs? So Lynn says, I'm so fed up with this old person. So fed up. Everything, she needs to have everything done for her. So Lynn starts walking up the stairs. Halfway through, she stops. Then she says, am I going up? Or I'm going down? She stops. At least upstairs keeps on calling. But he says, but haven't I been there already? Why are you calling me? Then she stops. She calls Liz, who is 92. Liz? Yes, Sissy? She responds. I don't know, Lisa called, but I don't know if I've been or I'm supposed to come down. I don't know, I'm confused. Would you help me? Would you come up? Then Lisa says, she starts muttering. You know, that's a problem with this old people. And she says, I hope when I get to their age, I'm not going to be like them. She's 92, by the way. And she says, all right, I'll help both of you. I'll come up there. And as she's muttering to herself, she says, before I do, touch wood, I hope I'm not like you when I get to your age. She says, touch wood. You know what that means in English? The English touch wood. It's like you're swearing. I hope it doesn't happen. You touch wood. So she knocks on the table, touch wood. And then she says, before I come up there, let me see the one that is knocking at the door. Remember, she just... I need to see somebody that there is a knock at the door. Let me go and answer the door, then I'll attend to you. I hope you've gotten the gist. You are laughing. Well, that is funny. The story of these three women would remind us of the way we lead life and the way we treat life. The older you get, the more likely you are going to lose memory. It's funny, but it will happen to all of us. And I pray that you all get to your 90s. I remember my wife, you know, when I was, preparing this, I got ministered to and I almost started crying. Then I called my wife. Because Rachel, she has a tendency, the moment you leave the house, you're about to drive off. In fact, if you even drive for about a minute, then she says, "Have I turned off the stove?" Or did I unplug the pressing iron? And when that happens, you have no way out. You have to drive back to go and check. You go in the house, you find actually everything is unplugged. That happens so often. And when I was looking at this, you know, I shed tears and I called her and I said, "Would you please forgive me? I'm so harsh to you sometimes. But this happens to everybody." According to science, they say the brain starts to decline from about 30. So if you are 30, remember when you forget things, subtle things. Say, "Why did I put that pen?" Your memory is slowly declining. 30, 40, and then you start going down the road quick fast, about 50. You start losing it. 60, people can tell, I think something is wrong. Do we have any medical students here? I wanted them to support me on this. And it's a fact, according to science, they say in the brain, there's a part that is called the hippocampus. It's a region crucial for forming new memories, but tends to decline with age. And as you grow old, there's reduced blood flow to your brain that would impact the way you memorize things. There are also hormones and proteins that protect and repair brain cells and stimulate neural growth that also decline with age. And that's a scientific fact. If you like reading, you can look for a book, or I can send it to you electronically. It's entitled "Cognitive Neuroscience of Aging" by Roberto Cabeza, Lars Nieberg, and Dennis Park, published by the Oxford Press. That is if you want to read up on this. So the older you get, the more likely you get to forget things. But there is a form of forgetfulness the Bible says we should be careful. The Bible says we should not forget our Lord, our God. Do not forget your Lord God, the Bible says. If you've got your Bible, you can turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 to 14. The Bible says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, or in other words, when God gives you things and you are happy and you feel like you've arrived, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Youths, young adults. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Deuteronomy 8, 17 to 18 says, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Remember, we are saying about idols. My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today. Forget not your God. One of the key things that will help you not to forget is by giving thanks and worshiping God. I know even last week, the other week, worship has been talked about so much. But I sensed and I felt I should talk about it again this morning. One of the ways you can be helped not to forget things easily is by giving thanks and worshiping God. You give thanks and worship God from a personal and spiritual revelation. And somebody said, you cannot worship God, you cannot thank somebody if you have no connection. You can say thank you to somebody for the sake of it. But if it comes from that deep connection, then it makes sense. You can worship God if God means something to you. One of the key ways you can worship God is to worship God for who He is. Remember what I said, from a personal revelation, you worship God and give thanks to Him for who He is. Psalm 96 verse 9 says, worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Someone said, out there are people who worship all kinds of gods. Some of them worship themselves. Some of them worship their children. Some of them worship their cows. There are so many gods that you can worship. Some worship gods who have mouths but they can't speak. Some worship gods who have eyes but can't see. Some worship gods who have hands but can't help. But our God is a God who made the heavens and the earth. If you get yourself to that point and say, Lord, you are the God who made the heavens and the earth. His thoughts are higher than any other thought. His wisdom is deeper than any other wisdom in the world. Any wisdom of any scientist you think of, that is our God. His power is greater than whatever power there is. And I like the way Moses puts it. He says in Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 to 4, he says, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. And he says, ascribe greatness to our God. He's approaching God and he's talking to God because he knows God. He says, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are just. A God of truth, other version says, a God of faithfulness. And without injustice, Moses is talking from that depth. A God of truth and without injustice. Are you listening to me? Righteous and upright he is. He's speaking from a revelation of his God. Two, you give thanks and worship God for the things he has done. Now remember, you worship God for who he is. He created the heavens and the earth. He created you. Everything about you. He created your husband. He created your wife if you are married. He created your mom. He created your sister. If you know that God is a creator, you worship him from that point. Not only that, you can worship him for the things he has done. The psalmist says in Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. For he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, the psalmist says. And forget not his benefits. And the benefits are so many. He says he forgives all your sins. When you get yourself to a point where you say, Lord, you forgive sins, you have the reason to worship him and to give thanks. He's the only one that you can forgive. That's what the psalmist says here. He forgives all your sins. And there are so many sins. Every day we sin against God. And I know some of you might think you don't have sins because you always think of somebody seated next to you as a big sinner. But guess what? We all sin. We are all sinners. As you're listening to me, you're looking at somebody. You know everybody else's sins. You know the sins of your bosses. As you're listening to me, you know the sins of your cousin. That one who denied you a dress sinned against you. You know the sins of your colleagues, even from last week. They did this to me. You know the sins of those you study with. Probably even know the sins, my sins. This is what he does. You are just short of calling me. Say, would you watch Mona? That's how grieved you are. You know everyone else's sins apart from yours. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the psalmist says he forgives all your sins. You've got the reasons to thank him and worship him. He says he heals all your diseases, physical, emotional, and mental. All the diseases you can think of, God heals them. And that's what the psalmist is saying. You've got the reasons to thank him and worship him. By the way, God heals even the diseases you don't know. Some of you might think that you are so healthy because you're walking. One doctor said he decided to do an experiment. Got two people, 10 people were actually very healthy. They looked very healthy. And decided to carry out tests on them. These were, some of them were athletes, very healthy. Carried tests on them. Found each one of them had an ailment in their body. Guess what? God heals even the diseases you might not know about yourself. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He heals all my diseases. If you know that God, then you have the reasons to thank him and to worship him. And he says he redeems you from the pit. God can redeem you from anything if you let him. He redeems you from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things. Good things. Even this morning, even now, you are taking in the breath that you're taking. That's a good thing. And you are satisfied. You wake up in the morning. Sometimes you just get up without even thinking about it. God can decide to shut your nostrils in your sleep. But he's so kind. You wake up. You have got all the reasons to thank him because it satisfies you with good things. We thank God and worship him for who he is. We thank him and worship him for what he has done. But thirdly, we also thank him and worship him for what he is going to do. That is future. But to thank him for the things that he's going to do, that takes faith. Because you don't see it. You are saying, Lord, I can't see it. But I thank you for it. Lord, I'm praying for this. But I thank you and I worship you. Because you are God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. Above all that I can think of or ask. Because he is a faithful God. You are saying it hasn't happened yet. But you know that your future is secured in God. You are thanking him in anticipation of what he's going to do. I'm sure on that day, either when Jesus comes or when you see God face to face, you won't tell him, Lord, there's something that you never did. I don't think so. Because when you see him face to face, everything will have been done perfectly well. because he is God. He is God. That is the reason why we thank him even before things happen. This reminds me when the story of Thomas. Thomas the doubter. He was told about the resurrected Christ, and he said, no, I can't believe. I can't believe until I touch his nail-pierced hands. And guess what Jesus says? The greatest blessing for those who do not see and yet they believe is the biggest blessing. And that's you and me. Because we believe that God has saved us. We believe that we are Christians. We are not like Thomas. We believe that God sent Jesus to come and die for us. That's faith. That's faith. There are loads of things that we don't see, yet we believe. We choose to believe the Bible, we choose to believe God. And that's why we are called Christians. And we say, God, you're faithful. God, you are so powerful. We thank him for the things that he hasn't done yet. I like it where the psalmist would actually tell you and teach you how to thank and worship God. In the book of Psalms, there's a thread that sweeps through the Psalm 89, Psalm 100, Psalm 118. There's a thread there. The psalmist says, God's love endures forever. And I like Psalm 136. If you can turn there, you can just follow me. The psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is God. And he says his love endures forever. He says, give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. And he says, give thanks to the Lord of lords. And he says his love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding, that's faith, by his understanding made the heavens and the earth, and he says his love endures forever. I can quote this psalm 26 times. He still says his love endures for how long? For how long? So you're there, you're not asleep. Do you know why we need to know this? That God's love endures forever. It's for our own good. Because the Bible sets the journey. The Bible frames out life in a journey. As you live life, it's a journey. And when you learn to say, Lord, your love endures forever. And I like the Jews. They instill in their children this truth that God's love endures forever. Every Jewish boy, they recite this, Lord, your love endures forever. Why do you have to know this? Because life, as you lead it, life has ups and downs. Some of you are experiencing a down. You're right down. Or some of you are on the top like mine. But most of us could be right there at the bottom. Life has ups and downs. The journey, this journey has highs and lows. You are going to have high points. At the same time, you're going to have low points. Here's the reason why you have to know that God's love endures forever. As you live life and as you lead life, you are going to have your eyes fixed on no any other person but Jesus, because his life, his love endures forever. The hymn says, morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all that I have needed, your hands have provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Let me say that again. It's a hymn that is so profound and so powerful. Morning by morning, new mercies I see, and all that I have needed, thy hands or your hands have provided. Great is your faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And guess what? Anyone can find God. Anyone can see God when things are going well. You can easily say, I'm blessed when things are going well. But what do you say when things are not going well? You have to learn to say, Lord, great is your faithfulness. Great is you, O God, because you are God. Now, how do we worship and give thanks to God? How do we worship and give thanks to God? First, we have to know that thanking and worshiping God has to start and end with God. Worshiping and thanking God does not start with you. Worshiping and thanking God starts with Him. While in Lusaka, I'm sure the people that were in Lusaka at their worship equipped would agree with me. Skalk, who was leading the worship equipped, gave an example. He said he was brought up by a single mom, him and his brother. When they grew old, they moved away, but they would always go back. Was it for a Christmas or a birthday? Birthday. He was slightly old. But because they did not have money, they would always go back to the mother and ask the mother, Mom, would you give me some money so that I can buy you a present? And I'm sure that's what mothers do. So, Mom, it's your birthday, but I need some money. Would you give me money so that I can buy a present? And the mother willingly dishes out the money. The boys would go buy, and they would buy the same thing, but that's what the mother could afford. Year in, year out, they would buy her slippers. And a cupboard was filled with slippers. Go to the shops, buys these slippers, brings them, wraps them nicely, and gives them to her. And she'll pretend like, she'll close her eyes. Oh, this is very nice. You see, they are giving her what belongs to her. And that's a very good illustration. Thanking God and worshiping God starts with God. You are worshiping Him because of what He has done. You are worshiping Him because everything that you have, everything that you possess, comes from Him. He has given it to you first. So you have to take Him, Lord, I'm worshiping you because of what you've given me. I'm worshiping you because of this life that I enjoy, because you are the author and the finisher of faith and of my life. You gave it to me, just like that boy scout. He's given the money, but he goes back to the mother to give her that present. You bless God with what he has given you. In Hebrew, as I come to a conclusion here, and if you are taking notes, please, I want you to take this down. In Hebrew, there are a number of ways you can worship and thank God. Hebrew, it's so rich that it describes worship in so many ways. One of the ways, or the word that describes worship, is a word called Shabbat. And as I was going through this, there's a boy that understands this word and demonstrates it. And I was saying, Lord, how I wish I could be that boy. He demonstrated so well. He says, can I speak without this? I've been told not to. Shabbat means to praise God in a loud voice. You don't praise God with your mouth shut. And when I'm singing and I'm worshiping, there are people that I watch here and I say they know their God. You praise God and you worship God with a loud voice. You proclaim God's greatness with boldness. Psalm 63, verse 3. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Another Hebrew word is shakar. It means bowing down in reverence to God. It refers to the physical action of bowing down. You bow down before God because of what he means to you. And if you see the Hebrew, the Jews, they know their God. You worship God and you bow down. Another word is yada. Extending hands in praise to God. You don't worship and thank God with your hands folded akimbo. You appreciate him once you know your God. Once God reveals himself to you, you have no choice but just to extend your hands to him. Lord, I yada. Halal is another name, not the halal meats, no. Halal, to shine, to boast in the Lord, to show praise to God, to celebrate and boast. You're telling God, Lord, you are so awesome. You are a big God. You are boasting in your God. I used to boast because I had a very clever brother in school who is no longer with us here. I used to boast because my brother was very good. But no, Yalau tells you, no, you have to boast in the Lord because he is God. Zamar is another word, Zamar, to make music to God. I was standing there and I was listening to, I was watching our daughter there play. And I'm saying, may the Lord give you more grace to know the keys and to excel in playing the keys with excellent, just moving your hands there. May God give you more grace. Amen. To master that instrument. To play the musical instrument with excellence. Psalm 98, verse 4, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilation with song and music. Barak, to bless, to kneel. You barak. You say, Lord, because of what you've done. Because you sent Jesus to come and die for me, I'm going to barak. I'm going to kneel down before you. It's a decision you make to honor God. Toda, you confess God through thanksgiving. You worship God and you say, Lord, I thank you. Tell him of everything that is done. That's true, Toda. And then Tehila, if I had a girl, in fact, I purposed in my heart that I was going to name her Tehila. Tehila, a song of praise, to sing praises to God, the highest praises. As you're worshiping God, you sing praises to God with your voice, with everything about you. When I'm standing there, I want to hear people sing because of what God has done for you. So next time you sing, you sing Tehila with the highest praise. Taka, T-A-Q-A, clapping in joyful acclamation. You strike your hands as if there is no tomorrow. Not like this. You strike your hands like you are being paid in dollars. Yes, like that, yeah. Macau, dancing with divine delight. Remember what David did? Even the wife despised him when he danced before the Lord. You dancing in delight. As we worship God, as we give thanks to God, and I like it the way the Catholics do. They dance with delight. You see them when they are singing, how they do it, how they, you know, it's like, it's so nice. We should do the same, even much better, because we know our God. You dance in delight. 2 Samuel 6, verse 14. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. With all his might, dancing before the Lord. As we worship God, as we thank the Lord, can we learn to thank him for who he is, to worship him for who he is, because he has created the heavens, the earth, you, and everything that you see. We thank him for what he has done, for what he has given you. We also thank him for what he is yet to do. Shall we stand if we can? Can I ask the band if you can join me here? Thank you.
I want to see one song. I want to see. To sing.